The big news in astronomy this week revolves around the planet Pluto, or the non-planet Pluto, or something called a Pluton, depending on how those in power decide what a planet is, decide what to call Pluto. Astronomers from around the world gathered in Prague this week to discuss Pluto's fate. And since its discovery, Pluto has always been considered a planet. It's right there in your textbook, the ninth planet. But some astronomers have taken exception to that. Pluto, they say, is just a big icy rock. And those are a dime a dozen, inhabiting a vast orbiting belt of rocks beyond Neptune, the Kuiper Belt. They think Pluto should be demoted, leaving us with eight planets in our solar system. But the International Astronomical Union has offered a different solution. Let Pluto be Pluto. Let it remain a planet. As a matter of fact, let other Pluto-like objects be planets also. Give it plenty of company. They've proposed guidelines which would have 12 planets in our solar system, with more to come. At the end of the meeting next week, astronomers will vote on whether to accept the new Pluto as planet definition. Joining me now to talk more about it is Mike Brown. He's professor of planetary astronomy at California Institute of Technology. He joins us by phone from Pasadena. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Brown.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Well, what kind of meeting was that?
I'm actually not at the meeting because I'm not a member of the International Astronomical Union, but it sounds like it's been quite a wild one.
I'll bet. Why now? I mean, we've had it since the 30s. We've discovered Pluto 70-so years ago. What's happened now that changed the way we look at it?
Well, Pluto always was a little bit of an oddball. It was even when it was found, it had a strange orbit compared to the other planets. The other planets have nice circular orbits, and they're all in one disk. Pluto's in the shape of an ellipse instead, and it's tilted. And Pluto was much, much smaller than everything else we had that we called planets. So it always didn't really quite fit in, but there was nothing else to call it. So it always just stayed a planet because there was nothing else to do. And then starting in 1982, astronomers started finding many, many more objects out there in that region where Pluto is in what we now call the Kuiper Belt. And we knew all along that this was going to cause problems, and eventually something would be found out there that was even bigger than Pluto. And finally, last year, when we actually found something that was bigger, this 2003 UB313, also known sometimes as Zena, it was pretty clear that we needed to do something. Either Zena had to be a planet, or Pluto had to not be a planet, or we needed to change totally the definition of what a planet is.
And so we've arrived at the point we are today.
That's exactly right.
And what is the proposal of the Astronomical Union? What do they want to do?
So the proposal that they have come up with is to say that a planet is anything that's large enough to be round due to its own gravitational pull. So if you put something in space and it pulled itself into a shape of a sphere just by gravity, that qualifies you to become a planet. As long as you're in orbit around a star. And anything that satisfies that is a planet.
And so we could have countless number of planets there.
Yeah, in fact, we already have. If you take their definition, although they have a list of 12 official planets, it's only because they haven't really taken the time to look at all the rest of them yet. If you take their definition and you look at the bodies that we know of already out there in that region of the Kuiper Belt, they're probably about... I count about 43 new planets that they need to add, and that's only probably half of the ones that we'll eventually find. So my guess is that the list of planets will eventually go to 100 or even 200, depending on how good we are at looking for these things.
If you were a betting man, do you think this is going to be voted positively to accept that definition?
Well, I've heard that just in the last day or two, there has been some considerable controversy there from other astronomers in Prague. So I'm not sure what's really going to happen, but I have to say that astronomers have been having this debate for years now, and I think they're actually mostly tired of it. So my guess is that if the proposal were to call anything that was shaped like a donut and painted yellow a planet, that would probably...
Well, in fact, even here in the Museum of the Hayden Planetarium, they took Pluto out of the exhibit hall.
Yeah, and that was quite controversial, and it's entirely reasonable. I mean, you could come up with, I think, three reasonable definitions of the word planet, and the most reasonable scientific one, I think, would be really that if you look at the solar system, you would very quickly classify the first eight planets in one region and classify everything else as something else, and you wouldn't include Pluto, and you wouldn't include the thing that I found, 2003 UB313, and that is a very reasonable scientific definition. You could also go for what I call the good cultural definition, which is to say, look, we've called Pluto a planet for 76 years. There's no good scientific reason for that, but culturally we have come to accept it as a planet. So let's keep it, and let's just make a definition that's totally arbitrary and say that Pluto's a planet and anything bigger than Pluto is a planet too, and be done with it that way. Scientists get very wary about that because they think that these definitions need to have very specific scientific reasoning behind them. But the analogy that I always like to use is the word continent. You know, the word continent has no scientific definition, but it sure sounds like it, some geologists should be scientific about it when they say it. But there's really no reason why that I can think of that Europe is a continent and India is a subcontinent, and they're just cultural definitions. And I think the geologists are wise to leave that one alone and not try to redefine things so that the word continent has a big strict definition.
So you could make 100 continents if you really wanted to. Like, you could make 100 planets.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, I'm about to get on the airplane to go out to Hawaii to observe at the telescopes out there. And by the IAU definition, if you sort of extended it to the definition of continents, I would be going, in fact, to the continent of Hawaii, not the island of Hawaii.
So you're saying, why not just leave the planets the way they are, and then we can teach people what the other stuff is?
I would say that's a very viable cultural approach, and I would support that one. I also think that the eight planet approach, although it's the one that gets the most people riled up, if you go on record as saying that you think there are only eight planets and Pluto is not a planet, you come across as just a big cosmic bully. But it is a very rational scientific approach. The approach that they took there, that everything round is a planet, is a radical change from what we think of as the solar system right now, and it doesn't sound so bad when they first tell you that there are only 12, but when you realize that it actually means that there are hundreds of new things that are called planets, it's a very big departure from what I think most people think of when they think of the word planet.
So you don't know how they're going to vote next week.
I'm encouraged to hear that there's actually some discussion, but I really do think that that planet fatigue will set in and people will just raise their hands and hold their noses.
The public will care more about this than the astronomers will.
This will not affect astronomers one bit, and that's an interesting way to look at it. Which definition matters more, the scientific one or the public one? This won't change anything that any astronomer does, except for maybe bureaucratically. I mean, I will wake up at night, go out, use the telescope, study these objects, try to figure out what they're made out of, try to figure out where they came from, regardless of the semantics that we use to describe them. So scientifically, the definition doesn't matter. But I think the definition does matter, and this is why there's so much discussion about it. I think the definition does matter culturally. So given that it doesn't matter scientifically, and it does matter culturally, I would have been much more in favor of a more sound cultural definition instead of this sort of overly technical definition that only a scientist could really love.
You say I've heard you quoted as saying the union definition is leave no ice ball left behind, something
like
that? Yeah,
I think that's a good description of exactly what it is. These things out there that are going to be planets are balls of ice that are maybe as big across as the distance from Los Angeles to San Francisco. You know, if you took all of the new planets that the IAU is eventually going to come up with, you could stick them inside of the moon, and there'd be still plenty of room to rattle around.
Let's talk about the moon. The moon's going to be grandfathered in as a non-planet, but could you have things like moons orbiting each other out there become planets?
Yeah, this is one of the interesting parts of the proposal. The moon is not a planet because it goes around the Earth, and that's part of the definition. But the satellite of Pluto, Charon, that was discovered back in 1978, has made the official list from the IAU on the technical grounds that it doesn't actually orbit Pluto. The two of them go around a center of gravity, and the center of gravity is not inside of Pluto. It's a little bit outside of Pluto. So on that technicality,
they're like two ice skaters holding on to each other by hands, spinning around like that.
That's exactly right. And so by that technicality, Charon is on the list, even though there are many moons of other planets that are much bigger than Charon that don't make the list.
Well, this is quite interesting, and you're gonna. I guess astronomers will be glued to their TV set, their internet screens, waiting for hold with bated breath the decision next week.
It's going to come early in the morning for me out here in California, but I'll be waking up to see what's finally decided. As I said, it actually doesn't affect astronomers in any actual way, but boy, I am dying to see what they come up with.
Well, what if they vote no? Do they win and have to start all over again?
Well, so if they vote no, this is why I think that most likely the vote will go yes, because people just fear that if the vote is no, that means that we are back to where we were before this vote came along, which is that everybody knows there are 9 planets. Some people talk about 10 planets. The occasional science museum puts in only 8 planets, and confusion continues to reign. Now, I think that's actually not bad. This is the way cultural decisions get made by this sort of confusion. But the scientists are not comfortable with this sort of thing. So I'm gonna bet that the answer is gonna be yes.
Are there actual lobbyist scientists that go out and say, "Hey, come on, you should vote this way or that way"?
I do wish I actually was there in Prague, because I'm curious how this is actually playing out this week. And I know that there are meetings where people are having discussions. And I don't know if people are going around and, you know, paying off astronomers to vote one way or another. It's it'd be interesting to see.
And you, as the discoverer of that biggest, that newer, that might be planet, you don't care if it doesn't get included as a planet.
I certainly care. I have to say, I will admit that it is quite exciting to have the possibility that one of those 12 planets that that people are talking about is one that I discovered. So part of me is very excited about this, but the scientist in me just still doesn't see this definition as working very well. And so I have to try to divorce those two parts of myself when I talk about it.
And we respect you more for that. Thank you, Mike Brown, for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Dr. Brown is a professor of planetary astronomy at Caltech out there in Pasadena. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about string theory, sort of a rebellion happening among physicists in string theory. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break.